Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good evening, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Sunday night, September 9th. This is the post-game wrap-up show after a big week one victory for the Miami Dolphins, 27-20 over the Tennessee Titans. And boy, was it a wild game today that started at 1, did end to close to, 8 o'clock? I don't know why I lost track. Weather delays. This game had everything that you could possibly want to see. But the most important thing was that the Miami Dolphins won 27-20. And Ryan Tannehill is back. He was in charge today. Sure, there were a few mistakes for him. But overall, Tannehill had a great, great game and led the Miami Dolphins to a 27-20 victory at home against the Tennessee Titans. And what I'm going to do now is take a quick break, and when I come back, I will be joined by Tom Ernesty as we will jump into this post-game wrap-up show, talk about the game from start to finish, all the ups, all the downs, go over the stats, go over the scoring, and tell you who played well and who didn't play well. Although, today for the Dolphins, there's really not a lot of guys who did not play well. It was mainly a positive game for the Dolphins here, as everyone did their job, so to speak. As one coach always says, do your job. Today, the Miami Dolphins, for the most part, everyone did their job, and that's why they came out on top 27-20 in this wild topsy-turvy game. So everyone, sit tight, and right after this quick break, I'll be joined by Tom Ernesty, and we will jump into the post-game wrap-up show.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one-stop source for anything and everything Miami Dolphins. From the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast to original commentary, breaking news, and interviews with current and former players as well as media types, DolphinsTalk.com keeps you up to date and informed with all the latest happenings taking place in the world of the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to check us out at DolphinsTalk.com every day for all your Miami Dolphins needs.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline here for the post-game wrap-up show is Tom Ernesty from right here at DolphinsTalk.com. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm drained, Mike. How are you?
Oh, it's been a long day, but hey, the Miami Dolphins won, and that's all I care about at the end of the day. It doesn't have to be pretty all the time, although they didn't really look that bad in this game overall. But, you know, it was a long day, but well worth it with the win.
It was good to see a win nonetheless. There are definitely some areas the team will need to improve on, and, you know, I know we're going to get into some of the things that we saw that we didn't like very much, but we're going to talk about a lot of the things that we liked from this game. For the most part, it was more rain delay than game itself. So I've never seen this before in NFL history. In all the years I've watched football, I've never seen a team get moved out of their home for a hurricane last year and displaced for week one on the West Coast. And then week one of the following season have a 7-hour and 8-minute game played on the first damn week of the season. This team just can't catch a break. I say next year, put them in the dome,
start on the road,
Colts,
and
just play on the road.
Yes, they have to open on the road. Look, and I know, I think this year, I think on his podcast a few weeks back, Bill Simmons actually sort of joked about this, and it ended up being true. It's like, after what they went through last year, Miami, why would you open them up at home again this year? It makes no sense. You know, the weather down there, you know, from the end of August to the first few weeks of September, specifically, is always kind of bad. Now, I know they've had monster hurricanes before in October, and it can happen, you know, anytime September, October. But it just seems like this time of year down there is just crazy weather. Bill Simmons joked about it. I know the Miami Dolphins last year requested to open up at home, and it just, whatever, things went a certain way. This year, I think once again, because of last year, they didn't get that home opener. They also requested to open up at home, and they get this. It's just easier to open up on the road. It might even be a lot easier to play the first two games of the year on the road. Sort of half joking here, but maybe not really.
You know, I'm not opposed to that happening. You know, this is prime season for South Florida with rain. And it, obviously it's hurricane season. So, you know, having home games at the beginning of the year is great. You know, you always want to open at home because the likelihood of winning the game is more probable than not. And if you can, you know, get the fans riled up, get the fans talking of a win, you know, particularly today against the Titans, and then maybe go on the road next week and defeat the Jets on the road and go 2-0. Now you got that third game back at home, and the fans are going to be buzzing with excitement that the team has a potential to go 3-0 to start the season. But one game at a time. Let's talk about this one, and we'll worry about the Jets next week.
So I guess before we get into the quarter-by-quarter here and stuff like that, I guess the big takeaway from this game for me is there's more good than bad. Overall, there's more good than bad. There are some things that are worth talking about. There are sort of minor red flags. But overall, the Miami Dolphins today, you know, were very good considering they had two long rain delays, I'll just call it. And I thought the team played well. They handled both of those long delays very well. And when they came back on the field, they did look like each time they were more prepared than Tennessee. So I think maybe being at home probably helped that out a bit. But overall, more good than bad. And let's get into it. First quarter, the Titans come out. And for the first part of the – and for pretty much the entire first quarter, I thought the Tennessee Titans pretty much had their way with Miami. Little surprised, I will say this, and I want to get your thoughts, that, you know, last year and even the year before, the Miami Dolphins have had a lot of trouble stopping the run. And – in the preseason, they've had a lot of issues stopping the run, and that the Tennessee Titans didn't come out in this game really and just line up and play a lot of smash mouth football. At times here and there they did, but to open the game, I thought they would just line up, run the ball, and force the Miami Dolphins to try and stop it. They really never did at all at any point in this game, but specifically in the first quarter or so. What are your thoughts on that?
It was interesting to see the Titans come out with that quick tempo, quick passing game. I think what they were trying to do is establish the pass to set the run up. They knew that the Dolphins have struggled in the past on the run defense. Marcus Mariota started pretty well. I believe he was 7 for 8 in the first quarter of this game, and you know, things just started unraveling in Titans. Kind of gave up on the run about into the second quarter before the first rain delay. They kind of just gave up on it, knowing that Derrick Henry was struggling to get any yards with this Dolphins front. And, you know, we'll talk, you know, Deion Lewis overall had a good game, but a lot of it was garbage time too.
Yeah.
So I think overall it caught us all off guard that the Titans were deciding to try to throw the football instead of trying to grind up the Miami Dolphins defense with their ground and pound.
Yeah, and pretty much the only main action of the first quarter was the Tennessee Titans kicked a 47-yard field goal, took a 3-0 lead in the second quarter. The Miami Dolphins, this is when they started to pick up. They started to pick up on each side of the ball specifically. They did have so here's what happens. The Tennessee Titans, they go for it on fourth down, and we'll get to this on each side. Both head coaches were very – aggressive today, and I don't mind my head coach being aggressive, but that early in the game, sometimes you just got to take the points. Really, you want to just take the points and sort of build a lead, get some momentum on your side. Titans go for it on fourth down. Minka Fitzpatrick shuts that down. Miami starts a drive at the 2-yard line, and they go 12 plays, 98 yards over 5 minutes, and it's capped off by Kenny Stills with a 10-yard touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill. That drive sort of got Miami into the game on the right track, I felt. And Tannehill looked sharp. The offense overall looked sharp. Albert Wilson looked great on that drive. But it all started with that fourth down stop at the 2-yard line. And, you know, me, like I said, again, I would have just taken the points if I'm the Titans. I'm kind of glad they did not, obviously. But that sort of got Miami going.
It did. The Titans were moving the ball at will on the Dolphins their first two drives. Going forward in that situation, that is a rookie coach making a bad decision. You're on the road. It's the regular season. You take the points. You always, always take the points in a regular season when your odds are stacked against you of getting into the end zone. It was a really great play by Minkah Fitzpatrick. He dissected the play, got over in time, made the stop at the 2 yard line, and the preceding drive for the Miami Dolphins was very good to see them go 98 yards. Last time the Dolphins did that was in 1989.
Yes, long time ago.
So and, it was yeah, a long time.
Solid drive, but it started with that stop on fourth down, and let's just get into it right now. Minkah Fitzpatrick was amazing today. I mean, he was literally everywhere on the field, and I did get some feedback from some fans like, why are they taking him off the field so much? Look, it's the first game of the year. It's hotter than heck down there. Rain delays. You got to give the guy somewhat of a breather. He's got to come off the field every now and then, but for the most part, he's a guy you're going to want on the field as much as possible. He did not look like a rookie at all. He lived up to the hype 110%. He was everything as advertised. Again, I don't read much into the preseason, so I don't care what he did then. Real game, week one, he showed up, brought his A game, and he is going to be a huge factor for the Miami Dolphins this year on that side of the ball, especially in the secondary. He was outstanding, and there's no other word to describe his play today. What were your thoughts on Minkah Fitzpatrick?
I'll one-up you and say it was phenomenal. Just absolutely, it's a breath of fresh air to see a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick in this defense. The amount of times the Dolphins have struggled on those third and short situations, giving up those, short plays for first downs, even giving up big plays, which they did in this game on third down and seven, I think it was midway through the fourth quarter. Minkah is a very, very solid football player, and I would not hesitate to say that in the locker room right now, he probably has a tablet in front of him watching his plays.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of player he is, and that's the kind of man he is. He studies the game. He understands the game very well. He came from a great pedigree in college. He started as a true freshman. There should be no reason why he wouldn't start in this game. And we found that out in week two of the preseason that he would be starting with Bobby McCain, who admirably did a very good job today as well on the outside in his first real game there.
Correct. And, he played well as well. Now, look, Tennessee Titans aren't known for the wide receiver, so we're going to get a better judge on people like McCain as the weeks go on and move forward. Probably against the Raiders, because next week, too, against the Jets, they're not known for the wide receivers. Probably against the Raiders, we'll get a better feel for McCain with him on the outside and such. But, look, he played great today, too, McCain. He was in on a lot of stops, a lot of plays. Overall, the secondary played well. Rashad Jones, we'll get to him later on in the game. He had, a heck of a game as well. Look, overall, there's more good than bad. So second quarter, we hit the was that the first rain delay? Yes, that was the first rain delay. That lasted forever. They come back, play 1 minute, then they're at halftime. Go to halftime. Miami comes out, and they end up with a 27-yard field goal by Jason Sanders. Gives them a 10-3 lead. Then comes another long rain delay. So the third quarter was sort of a mishmash of not a lot happening. Miami did have a red zone drive that sort of stalled. Play calling there was a bit questionable, but they did settle for a field goal. And let's get into the play calling here. I guess now is a good time. Although in the fourth quarter, it was questionable. In the red zone, the Miami Dolphins, they were only up 7-3 in this game. But if you were watching the game, they were sort of in control in every aspect. And you never really felt like the Titans were, going to make a move here to take the lead. Miami's driving down. And it just stalled in the red zone. Some of the play calling, I don't understand what they were doing. What are your thoughts, Tom, on the play calling overall?
Overall, it was, I would say, average at best. I think at the very beginning of the game, kind of saw everything that was happening. A lot of short passes, a lot of quick throws, nice zone runs. by Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. Didn't expect anything less out of that play calling, but when the team did get in the red zone, I was not a fan of majority of the play calls. And you know, one of the play calls that kind of frustrated me was the fade to Gesicki. I mean, I understand why. I understand why. Yeah. But the Titans knew it. The Titans knew it, and it was a very bad throw from Ryan Tannehill, underthrown. But the same token, Gesicki, he needs to fight. He needs to do an offensive pass. He needs to do something knowing that he's not catching that ball. Yeah.
Nothing on that play went well. From first, as soon as they lined up, we have run that play so much over the past year and a half. Everyone who's ever watched any Miami Dolphins game, even for 5 minutes, which included the Tennessee Titans, knew what was coming. Then you had the pass, which was a horrible pass. Then you had the tight end who didn't make a play to even try to break up the tight end. That play blew up, you know, from the start. And there's a lot of fault there to go all the way around. But I will say this. We've run that play so many times. I don't think it's ever worked once. Adam Gase needs to take that play, put it to the back of the playbook, wait 10 weeks or so, and then try it again. He cannot keep trying this play because it doesn't work. It's a wasted play. And what happened here today, you know, could happen again. It's just not a play that has a high percentage of working. And it just does not seem to work for this group, no matter who the quarterback is, who the tight end is, or who we're playing, whether it's Moore, Jay Cutler, Tannehill, whether it's Julius Thomas or Mike Gesicki, it just doesn't work. And he's got to put that play away for, I would say, 8 weeks or so at least, and then try it again later in the year and see if we have a little more success with it then. But right now, just don't call it again. I've seen that play enough, and I don't want to see it again. So
I wouldn't mind seeing that again real quick. I wouldn't mind seeing that play again, but you also have to find different ways other than a one-on-one jump ball to get Gesicki the ball. Gesicki needs, you know, in that situation, why not line another wide receiver up on the outside, maybe do a rub route to get Gesicki open in maybe a quick slant, and then maybe you have an option with another receiver out there going out to the flat. You know, you have
opportunity. Put someone in motion out there. Do something. But when they line up him all by himself and three people on the other side, you're just telegraphing what you're doing. If you want to line up that way again, throw it to one of the three wide receivers on the other side. It'll probably work because they will have everyone caught off guard at this point because every time they line up that way, you know what's coming.
Yep. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, okay. So third quarter, another long delay. And then we come back from that delay. And in the fourth quarter, that's where this game got crazy. It got crazy fun, crazy exciting, and just crazy to watch. The fourth quarter, this game was 10-3 after three quarters. It was kind of slow-moving, dull, boring for the most part. Fourth quarter, we saw everything and anything in this game. Started off, the Tennessee Titans tie the game up. Deion Lewis on a four-yard run. They move the ball down the field. We should mention here, Marcus Mariota out of the game. Marcus Mariota, he got whacked. And it was a clean hit, too, because on those run-pass options, you can whack the quarterback. And he was out of the game. And the Titans tied up at 10. But then next play, Jakeem Grant runs it back 102 yards for the kickoff to give Miami a 17-10 lead. Let's talk about that right there for a bit. Lewis, you know, Tennessee was bound to score eventually, even with Blaine Gabbert. Their offense, you know, was okay for the most part. And then Jakeem Grant takes the kickoff back 102 yards. What were your thoughts on the big return by Grant?
Who says the kickoff returns were dead?
I did, actually.
Yeah, you did.
We got two of them in this game.
We had two in this game, and Grant's touchdown was a thing of beauty. You know, even though the return team can't touch these guys until they get to the 30-yard line, I believe is the – or yeah, 30-yard line, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you have to set your wall. You got to get your blocks. And when Grant took off at about the 15, 20-yard line, he saw the seam and just went. And he was not even touched. And, you know, he looked like he ran out of gas a little bit, but still was so much faster than anybody else on the field. It's very good to see that, you know, after a year where he struggled with bobbles and things like that, and getting him involved in the kick return game, as well as offensively today, I think he played very well on offense too, but it was a very nice play by the special teams, very nice design. by Darren Rizzi to you know, figure out a way to get him sprung, and the guys did a great job making the blocks.
Yep, absolutely. And then the Miami Dolphins, after they get the ball back from the Titans, and then the big play of the game. Well, there's a lot of big plays, but I think the play every fan of the Miami Dolphins wanted to see and put a big smile on their face was the big 75-yard touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill to Kenny Stills to put Miami up 24-10 with about 10 minutes left in the game. Big pass, big catch, big play. Everyone's been waiting for this. Tannehill, this is the play where I go, he's back, and this is what everyone wanted to see, and they got it. So Miami up 24-10. What were your thoughts on? Well, you know what? Save your thoughts on that play because we're going to talk about Ryan here after I wrap up the scoring, and let's get into him more in depth there. So Miami takes a 24-10 lead. The next play on the next kickoff, the Titans run back their kickoff, 94 yards. So just when you think Miami's got some breathing room, 24-10, boom, 24-17, Titans run back a kickoff. And then after that, you know, the Titans and the Dolphins exchange field goals, and you get a 27-20 Miami Dolphins victory. Like I said, overall in this game, more good than bad. But I think what we should do now, well, first let me look at, first let's go through some stats. And for this game, the time of possession was pretty much even. Tennessee had the ball 29 minutes and change. Miami had it 30 minutes and change. Fairly even there. First downs, again, fairly even. The Tennessee Titans, 19 first downs. The Miami Dolphins, 18 first downs. Third down, the Miami Dolphins were 2 for 10. That is not good. 2 for 10, they have to get better there. Total yards, again, pretty even. Tennessee, 336. Miami, 342. Yards per play, Miami, 5.9. Tennessee, 5 yards per play. Passing yards, again, very even. The Titans, 220 yards. Miami, 222. Rushing yards, again, very even. Tennessee, 116. Miami, 120. Red zone, Miami, 1 of 5. That's something we're going to get into. Penalties, again, pretty even. Miami, 7 for 51, 5 for 48 for the Titans. Miami had 2 turnovers. The Tennessee Titans had 3. All their turnovers were interceptions. So the stat line was pretty even. And it came down to essentially, you know, which team made more plays. And the Miami Dolphins in this game made a few more plays. Let's go around the horn and just talk about each position, I think. Let's just talk about that. First, I guess we'll start with the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. And on Twitter, I got a little bit of negative feedback with a tweet I put up after the first interception on the Gesicki fade route. And I think people misunderstood what I said. And I said, look, Tannehill, first let me just make this clear. Tannehill played a very good game today. For his first real game back since 2016, he played a great game. This is the guy we want, 20 for 28, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, which weren't good. But the second interception was bad, but the first one bothered me the most because he's been in this league now, 7 years, and you can't give away points when you're in the red zone. And that pass, yes, everything went wrong, was a bad play call. That's a bad pass at the end of the day. And he can't make that pass in the red zone. And all I said was, you wonder why people in the national media rip him so often. It's because of passes like that in the red zone. You can't give away points. That's not a rip on him. He's allowed to have a bad play every now and then. But people took that the wrong way. And I wasn't ripping him saying now he's terrible. It's just that plays like that, he needs to eliminate. The second interception was bad. It happens, whatever. The first one, he needs to eliminate because he's been in the league too long. And you got to get points when you're in the red zone. You can't give stuff like that away. Whether you like the play call or not, he still threw it. So Tannehill, though, overall, you know, looked as sharp as he – well, I don't want to say as sharp. Looked like he did in 2016, commanded the offense, looked sharp, was outstanding in the first half, really, and just had a heck of a game. Can't knock anything except for the 2 interceptions, but the one in the end zone is really the one he needs to clean up. What are your thoughts overall – and Ryan Tannehill today?
Well, it was good to see him back on the field first off. And it was a sight that, you know, even the Tana haters of the world, when they see him run out on the field, it's a breath of fresh air because it's a lot better than Matt Moore and Jay Cutler. Let's just leave it at that. That's a whole other conversation. and I could probably rant about it for 25 minutes. Overall, I thought he had a good game. I wouldn't say it was great. I would say it was good. The reason I would say it was good, he was a bit rusty. You know, he finally got a chance to play against a live defense who schemed against him. He played well. The crisp throws were very good. He knew where he needed to go with the football. He was very precise with that throw. And the bomb pass to Kenny Stills was a dime. And if Trent Dilfer was still with ESPN, we would have a Dilfer dime on Monday Night Football tomorrow, because that was an absolute dime by Tannehill to Kenny Stills with Malcolm Butler draped all over him. It was a perfect throw, and we can't expect anything less from Tannehill, especially the way his deep ball developed in 2016. It just continued to look like it's getting better. So they did a very good job with the quick passes, got the Titans up to the line of scrimmage, and then in the fourth quarter, they started taking their chances. They started throwing the ball down the field because they had their openings. The second interception that he did have, overthrow, it's kind of like something I would do in Madden. It's third and long, and you just want to throw a Hail Mary. It's more fun than a punt. Let's just put it that way. But definitely he needs to get those things corrected, and I believe he will. He is a student of the game. He's going to understand what he did wrong on that first interception especially, and I agree with you, that was putrid of a throw from Ryan Tannehill. But overall, it was a good game from him, and it was a very good win. With all the things that happened in this game today, it was a good win, and it was a good win for Ryan Tannehill especially, because it's been 636 days since he had a taste of football. He's got that taste of football back. He took a hit in this game, a couple hits in this game, and the mojo is now done. He's healthy leaving game one, and we can look forward to see what he does next week.
Yep, and the long touchdown to Steele, 75 yards, you know, is people who have not been fans of his for 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is, they always say, well, you know, late in the game, he never makes the big play. 9 times out of 10, that 75-yard pass is the kill shot. That's the shot you want. They're up 17-10. He makes that pass. Boom. 24-10. 8-9 minutes left. That's usually 9 times out of 10. That's the play that will put away your opponent. It just so happened on the next play they took back the kickoff, which sort of ruined that moment. But that's the big-time play you get with him, and that's why he's so important to this team, because you don't get those plays with Matt Moore or Jay Cutler or a lot of other scrubs in this league, and that's a big-time play. That's why I say, aside from the first interception, his day overall is good. Now, in the first half, specifically in the second quarter, you know, he was untouchable. I mean, he was hitting everybody. They were moving the ball. I think at one point he was like 10 of 11 or something. I mean, he was just untouchable. When he came back after the long rain delay, the first one, you know, it was all right. No, it was after the second one, actually. You know, he was just all right, and he wasn't as sharp as he was in the first one. But, you know, that long touchdown pass, that's what you want to see. And everyone, relax. If he makes a bad throw, you can still criticize the guy. People think if you criticize him for one little thing, that, you know, that you hate the guy, or you're bad. Nobody's bashing him, but it was a terrible throw in the red zone, and you cannot give away points. He's not a rookie. He's been in the league since 2012, and he can't give away points in the red zone. He's got to protect the ball better than that when you're so close to getting even a field goal at that point. So overall, Tannehill was outstanding, and I think he'll only get better. And next week, the Jets, not known for having a great secondary, I want to see how he does week two on the road. And I also want to see how he does without too long weather delays as well. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Overall, the man who sort of stood out the most to me, even though he didn't have a ton of catches, was Albert Wilson. Because, again, in the first half, Albert Wilson, they used him every which way till Sunday. He only caught – how many passes did he catch? 3 for 31, but he also ran the ball twice. Wilson, they used him numerous ways, and I think he's going to be a big factor. Jakeem Grant, 5 receptions for 38 yards. They, as we expected heading into the game, spread the ball around. Amendola, 4 receptions. Drake, 3 receptions. Wilson, 3 receptions. Grant, 5 receptions. And, of course, Kenny Stills, 4 receptions, 2 of them are touchdowns, but the big one, 75 yards. And here's one more thing I'll say about the wide receivers before I let you comment, Tom. I thought they played very well today. All these guys didn't see any mental mistakes. I mean, except for the drop late in the game by Stills, which with a wet ball and such, you can sort of forgive. I would be in no rush once he's healthy to get Devontae Parker back on the field, because this unit, what I saw today against a very good Tennessee Titans defense, showed me they can move the ball in the air without him. Now, I know once he comes back, they're probably going to just rush him back out there. But if this offense, if he's not back next week or the week after, and this offense is, let's just say they're 3-0 and they're moving the ball well on offense, they're playing well, why upset the apple cart? I'd be in no rush for Devontae Parker. I thought the wide receivers today played very well. They spread the ball around, and everyone did their role. What were your thoughts on the wide receivers?
I think overall they played very well. The game plan was simple. Let's get quick passes, crossing routes, swing passes to the running backs, and, you know, move the sticks. You know, the whole idea of this game was to get an manageable, you know, second and third downs, and be precise with the football, and that's exactly what the Dolphins did in this game. Still not very good on third downs, being 2 for 10. I'm still baffled by that whole ordeal. They just can't convert on third downs. But if you're converting first downs into first downs and second downs into first downs, I guess it's okay, as long as you're putting points on the board, which really happened in the fourth quarter. I did like Albert Wilson. I liked how they used Jakeem Grant as well.
Yep.
He actually was the most targeted wide receiver in this game for the Dolphins with 7. So overall, it was a very good game from Grant. But Kenny Stills proving once again why the Dolphins gave him his extension last season. Before the season started, he is a playmaker. And his dynamic with Ryan Tannehill is back on display, because prior to the injury, Stills had 9 touchdowns that season. He had a very good season with Ryan Tannehill, and he picked up right where they left off, 2 touchdowns, 4 catches, 106 yards, 5 targets. It was a very good game from Kenny Stills. Regarding Devontae Parker, I know how much you dislike Devontae Parker. What he can bring, at least, is that mismatch type. So if you want to throw a fade to Mike Gesicki, you have the opportunity to have Devontae Parker lined up on the opposite side. So now teams are going to go, which way is he going to go with the ball, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
I know, as much as you dislike Devontae Parker, he still provides matchup issues because of his length and his ability to get up and get the football.
True. On paper, everything he said is right, but he has to actually make the play, and he's yet to really show me he can make that play, other than maybe once or twice over the course of 3 or 4 years. So, I just wouldn't upset the apple cart. I wouldn't rush him back. Let's put it that way. I'd be in no rush to get him on the field, even when he is healthy, because what I saw today was the Miami Dolphins spread the ball around. Everyone did their part, and what I saw out of Devontae Parker last year was the ball going off his hands, being intercepted, Parker, you know, half-assing it out there. What I saw today from this offense was a lot of energy from the wide receivers. Everyone was into it, and it just worked. I don't even know how to put it into words. It just worked. And with him not there, I'd be in no rush to take someone else off the field. Like Grant had a heck of a game today at wide receiver. Forget the return for a touchdown. At wide receiver, Grant had a heck of a day. And I don't know. I we'll see how this plays out. And but I just would be in no rush to get him back out there. Running backs, nice compliment here between the two. Frank Gore, 9 rushes, 61 yards. Drake, 14 for 48. Both of those guys made, you know, just looked outstanding. Can't knock either one of them. It was a nice mix. Drake, I still want to see him get the ball a little bit more than Gore, but Frank Gore today had a heck of a day. 9 carries, 61 yards, 6.8 yards average. So it worked for today, but they both look spectacular. What are your thoughts on the running backs?
Can't teach an old dog new tricks, huh?
I know.
Frank Gore had a very good game. When he ran the ball, he was very precise. He hit the hole, and, you know, fact is he averaged 6.8 yards a carry in this game, to be exact. You look at Kenyon Drake's stat line, 14 for 48. He had 3.4 average. You got to remember those last 3 plays towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
There were losses. It really nixed his average, but Drake had a very good game as well. My frustration with the running backs actually is focused on the head coach and the play calling.
Absolutely.
Why?
gets away from it too early.
Football, it's working. You get away from it too early. Adam Gase should be ashamed of himself. The running game was working. It was working very efficiently. You could have kept running the football, and then you could have used that to set up your play action passing a little bit better. You know, you could have taken more shots down the field. But overall, I think the running backs are going to be a very good piece to this puzzle. If Drake continues his great work from what he did last year, and Gore can be that complement piece, I see no issues with the running backs. I think today we had 120 yards rushing at 4.1 a carry. I think that's a very good job.
It worked, absolutely. It worked for today. And once again, Tennessee Titans are no joke on their front seven on defense. That's a heck of a front seven. And Miami, you know, to run 29 times, 121 yards for an average of 4.2 yards, you know, kudos to them, which sort of leads into the offensive line. The offensive line, it's sort of a mixed bag. They obviously helped, obviously, run for 121 yards here. So kudos to them on that. But still a lot of penalties on this offensive line. Off the top of my head, Laremy Tunsil, I think, had two today. Sitton had one, and Juwan James had one. They got to clean that up. Because overall, I thought the offensive line played very well. But Laremy Tunsil, you know, has to improve here. He's got to play better. And that's too many penalties for that unit. But overall, it didn't really hurt them today too much. But they got to clean up the penalties. That's the one thing about this offensive line, that even when they play well at times, they still get too many penalties. Like I said, I know Tunsil had one. He might have had two. I think he did have two. So that's four on that unit alone. That's too many.
Yeah, it's too many, and it's always at the wrong times.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah.
That it's always at the wrong times. You know, the sitting penalty late in the game, you know, that was just that play just dragged on way too long. Eventually that penalty was going to be called. The Tunsil holding call, yeah, it was called, but kind of a ticky-tacky holding penalty against them. Juwan James penalty for his hold. Yeah, that was a hold.
That was a hold.
That was pretty blatant, clear as day. But I would say overall, you know, getting 120 yards on the ground and only one sack allowed to Tannehill, where it was an eight-man box for the Titans showing blitz, and they only had five guys back to protect him. That was, you know, that's on Tannehill for not checking out of the play. But, you know, you got to get some help up front, at least to give him that one extra second to release the football to most likely a wide-open guy.
And I was really impressed today, too, with the center. I thought the center played well today. I thought
Kilgore
had a heck of a game, actually. So kudos to him. Offensively, again, I guess, you know, overall, they were very good for the most part. Play calling, I guess we can get into this now with head coach Adam Gase. The play calling, it does look, they won the game, so you can't rip on them too much here. And it was an odd game with all the rain delays, lightning in the area. So, once again, you can't rip on them too much. But I'm just going to go to the end of the game with about 5 minutes left. You know, you got the lead. They have, like, I think they're at, like, one timeout maybe left or two. Either way, they're going empty backfield and throwing the ball. Run the ball. Get the clock moving. Make them use their timeouts, the one or two they got left. And, you know, win the game. It's like sometimes he is too smart for his own good, I think. And sometimes you just – take what's there and just win the game. He's got empty backfield, just throwing the ball, 5 minutes left. You got this game in hand. You're at like the 10-yard line, and it's like after the big Rashad Jones interception, like you're down at the 10. It's like empty back. Just run the ball. Kill the clock. Kick a field goal. You're up by 10. Game over, essentially. And the play calling at times, it is head-scratching. It's tough to get on today because they won and with everything that went on around it, but you know, the play calling, like we spoke about with the red zone interception stuff, it makes you wonder, like, what is he watching sometimes that we're not seeing? And I know, look, he's watched more tape of football than you, me, and the next 10 people have ever watched in our lives. I get that. But sometimes you don't have to think that much about this stuff, really. You really don't. So what were your thoughts overall on the play calling?
He's got to get better. I think with just like players, when you go into a situation where there's a delay and then another delay and it lasts a total of almost 4 hours, it really changes the momentum for coaches too, because you got to try to keep the guys prepared. But at the same time, your game plan changes up a little bit, because now the You're in a different field condition. The weather is still iffy at best, which today was beyond iffy. I think he needs to get better with his play calling. He'll learn from this. I know Gase is sometimes he's too smart for his own good on some of his play calls, but I think overall he had a good mix. He had 29 rushes, and he had, I believe it was 28 passes. So overall, it was a very mixed, you know, it was very balanced offense for the most part. I think there's just times where some play calls need to be different. But like you said, you know, the guy watches a lot more football than you and I, you know, especially breaking down film. I think Adam Gase will learn from this. He will get better, and it will probably start next week against the Jets.
Yep. So let's go to the other side of the ball. The first thing that really, popped off the screen was Miami Dolphins' run defense was, you know, I don't want to say great, but it was very good today. It was very good. Coming into this game, my fear was Henry was going to run over us, you know, all day long. And he ended the day, 10 rushes, 26 yards. Yes, he had the long run at the end, but there was a hold. It was called back, so that don't count. So he had 10 rushes, 26 yards. He did virtually nothing all day against the Miami Dolphins run defense. The Miami Dolphins run defense surprised me in a good way today. So hats off to them. Now, Lewis did have 16 carries, 75 yards. Okay, whatever. But the fact that they shut down Henry and took him out of this game, when to me he was their biggest threat on offense outside of the tight end, really. He is their biggest threat on offense. And they made him a non-factor. They just shut him down. And, you know, that was a great thing to see. Pass rush was okay for the most part. They didn't have any sacks. But whatever. They had pressure on either Mariota or Blaine Gabbert, you know, for the most part, even though they had no sacks. But the run defense, how they set the edge, and how they wrapped guys up, specifically Henry, and took him out of this game and made him a non-factor. Hats off to the Miami Dolphins front seven, specifically the defensive tackles, who I thought, you know, exceeded my expectations by miles today and played a heck of a game.
They played a very good game, but I also want to tip my hat to, you know, Raekwon, Kiko, Jerome Baker, and Chase Allen. Overall, those guys actually cleaned up the, you know, the running back would hit the hole. The linebackers are there to stop them. Very decent in pass coverage. There's still a lot of things that need to be corrected in pass coverage from the linebackers. But overall, I thought Kiko had a very good football game. Raekwon did not look lost very much. And Jerome Baker also had a very good game. Both those guys had 6 tackles and 3 solos. But I think, Mike, leading into the next piece of the defense, this secondary could very well be probably one of the most talented bunch of guys since we've had it, I would probably say, from the mid to late 90s. This is probably one of the best group of players in regards of athleticism. I can't even say the word. You drained me today. Athleticism was fantastic. It's fantastic from all parties in that secondary. And on top of that, they had very good communication for the most part. And that's, you know, big tip of the hat to Rashad Jones, as well as Mika Fitzpatrick. And, you know, Xavien Howard barely had the ball thrown his way today, I believe. I don't think I saw him very much at all getting picked on by either quarterback for Tennessee.
Yeah. The secondary, look, as we spoke about earlier with Mika Fitzpatrick, I think he's probably in a perfect world, he would be our free safety on the field a lot more. But right now we are shorthanded at cornerback, and until Tankersley can sort of get back what he had last year to some level, he's going to have to play the slot more, which is okay. TJ McDonald, you know, they were great in secondary. If there's anybody to complain about somewhat minor little, TJ McDonald at times, he was sort of exposed in the passing game against Walker. Walker's a great tight end, though. It's going to happen. Not every tight end Miami faces will be Walker, but still a little bit of an issue covering tight ends. But again, Rashad Jones, 2 interceptions, both of them great plays. And the secondary is the strength of this defense beyond a shadow of a doubt. They still have to work on stopping a tight end. Like I said, Walker, he's one of the top, you know, five tight ends in this league. You're not going to face someone of that level each week, but the Miami Dolphins in years past, we've had trouble stopping even crappy tight ends. So today when we see we had a little trouble stopping Walker, that still has to be fixed, and that has to be sort of tweaked. Linebackers, I want to go back there for a second. Linebackers played well. Kiko Alonso played very well. Raekwon and Jerome Baker, since it was their first game ever, they looked pretty good. Chase Allen, though, was replacing each one of those guys at the end of the game because they didn't each miss a couple assignments. And, well, again, they're rookies, come some slack. Overall, that side of the ball, because they – God, I can't – my voice is going out on me. They scored 20 points. The Titans, 7, was on the kickoff return. They pretty much held down the Tennessee Titans offense. Granted, Mariota, he went out early. But, you know, a great game for that side of the ball. They surprised me. I was so worried about that side of the ball coming to this game because they did not match up well with the Tennessee Titans, and they played a heck of a game overall. And, you know, there are things to fix and clean up. They got to find a way to stop the tight end. And when they face a smaller back here like Lewis, you know, trying to contain him is a little bit more of a challenge, I think, for that side of the ball. But overall, the defense brought it. And next week, they're going to have a rookie quarterback to face. So hopefully they could sort of improve off of today's performance and sort of build off this.
They need, yeah, this is a great thing to build off of, you know, facing adversity pretty much all day long with the weather and the delays and stop and go and everything else that happened. This only makes your team stronger. The bond will grow. You know, Adam Gase will have these guys ready to go. You know, we're going to have a good look at Sam Darnold tomorrow night against the Detroit Lions. And, you know, we'll see what he can do on the road. You know, granted, the game is at home next week. But how much of a home game is it? Because it is MetLife Takeover.
That's right.
For the Miami Dolphins, and we're excited to hear those Dolphins fans going crazy in the stands next Sunday.
Absolutely. And one thing here that I think I should mention, since we are recording this on Sunday night, the past 5 minutes or so, since this team is on Miami's schedule, it is worth mentioning. The Green Bay Packers and their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, just got sacked, and he went down and was on the ground holding his knee for a while. He did limp off the field, but it was the type of limp we saw, let's say, in 2016 with Ryan Tannehill, where you're like, oh, that's not too bad. He's walking off the field. Rodgers was down on the ground. Again, this is in real time. I don't know how bad it is. He was on the ground for a while. He was holding his knee. He got up. He went right back down, and then he did end up limping off. If that's a serious injury, which would put him out for, say, the year, and once again, I don't know how serious, but it did not look good. That would help that one game that the Miami Dolphins play at Green Bay in November, you know, tremendously, and it makes that game more of a winnable game. Again, it's real time. I don't have the volume on, but it did not look good for Rodgers, and we'll see if he comes back here. But that's something worth mentioning, because if he's not out there, and it looked like it was a knee injury as he was grabbing his knee, that could be something that could help the Miami Dolphins later on this season.
That's sad to hear that. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a great player and MVP candidate every single year. And, you know, he's just coming back off the collarbone injury. I didn't see the play myself, but my phone's been buzzing. My buddy is a Bears fan, and I'm sure he's texting about it. It's unfortunate to hear, you know, and on top of that injury report, you know, Delanie Walker, gruesome injury.
Oh, that was bad. That was tough to see. Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of watching Gordon Hayward last year for the Celtics go down in the first game against the Cavs. It's a gruesome injury. It's just not good. And I hope that the surgery will be successful and Delanie Walker will heal up. So he can, you know, if he never plays football again, I'm sure he will. But, you know, you got to live a quality of life outside of the game. And, you know, this is the kind of injury that could really put a damper on your long-term abilities and health.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, I don't know what is happening here with Rodgers. They're still on the sideline. Chicago has the ball as I'm recording this. So it might end up being a lot to do about. nothing. But again, it looked really bad. So we'll see. And oh, one other thing we forgot to mention this game: Jason Sanders. For a kid in his first game with a wet field, wet ball, great job by him today. He didn't miss nothing. All of his kicks were right on target. So tip of the cap to the rookie, Jason Sanders. He sort of calmed my nerves a little bit too, I would say, because I was a bit nervous about him heading into this game. And I guess as we wrap this up, overall, like I said at the top, this game, more good than bad. There's things that got to be cleaned up. Red zone offense, they got to convert more touchdowns in the red zone. They have to convert more in the red zone and not give up points. So that's probably the big takeaway in the offense. On defense, they far exceeded my expectations today, especially stopping the run. Overall, heck of a game. It was a long day. If you stayed till the end, you're a great fan of this franchise. If you were in attendance and stayed to the end, great job by you, because – look, it's a win. Week one off to a great start, and that's all we want is to see this team win. So, yes, there were some things to work on, but overall, you know what? I am very surprised and very happy with the performance we saw today from the Miami Dolphins. What are your closing thoughts, Tom?
Closing thoughts, you know, kudos to the fans that, you know, that stayed through the entire game, and kudos to the fans that stayed through that entire first rain delay. Honestly, if I was at that game and it was raining on me for roughly 2 hours, I would have been long gone. I would have been back on my couch getting ready to watch the rest of the game. So kudos to the fans that toughed it out all the way through the end, but kudos to everybody that went and even stayed through that first rain delay. But once that second one hit, I would understand completely that the fans would leave, but that stadium was still loud and got the W for the, helped the team get the W today, and they cheered on Ryan Tannehill from the time that he came on the field for introductions all the way through the final gun. And it was a very, very good and a promising win for this team dealing with adversity again on the first week of the year.
Yep, and also want to give a tip of the cap to all the people who work at Hard Rock Stadium. That's a long day for those folks. They get to that stadium. If that game's at 1 o'clock, they're there, 8:30, 9 a.m. to prepare. Whether you're selling hot dogs or sodas, whether you're an usher, whether you work on the field, the grounds crew, that's a long day. Tip of the cap to them. That's a long day, and they're still there probably now as we record this on Sunday night, cleaning up the stadium, making sure it's all clean. So heck of a day for them. And I guess one last thing. You look around the AFC East today. What we saw from the Bills are they are not going to be a factor in 2018. So I feel safe in saying that the AFC East, granted, it's still the Patriots division. Nobody's knocking them. It's just one game. But the Bills, you can write them off at this point. Nate Peterman was as bad as ever. Josh Allen, didn't light the world on fire either. The Bills, thank you for participating in the 2018 NFL season. You can go home now, and you will be picking number one in the draft next year. Write it down in stone. If there's a team that's worse than them, I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned. They are that bad this year, the Buffalo Bills. New England, they won today. Typical win by the Patriots. They weren't perfect, but they did enough to win. So New England, they're going to be New England. They're going to be a pain in the neck. They're going to be good. 27-20 over Houston. Monday night, we get to see the Jets. And look, we got to hope and pray Sam Darnold is as bad as Nate Peterman, because I got a feeling this kid's going to be real good for a long time. I'm hoping he stinks, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I just got a feeling I won't be. So there's that. And they are taking Rodgers off the field in a cart. Not a good sign for Aaron Rodgers. Oh, so, yeah, well, he's not laying down on the cart. I will say that. He's in the passenger seat, just sort of sitting there rubbing his knee. He looks very sad. I think he knows this is bad. Again, I'm no doctor. We have no reports. But just the look on his face and the fact he keeps rubbing his knee, probably not a good sign. And he was down on the ground for a while. The Green Bay Packers are probably scared you-know-what right now. And that's not a good start for them this season. So I think that's all I have for today. Oh, and the two announcers for Fox today, Sam Rosen and Chris Carter. Look, I know Sam Rosen was going to be great. Chris Carter was a heck of an announcer today. He did a good job on the color commentary. And I was surprised by him. Great job by the announcers. Chris Carter was very good today. What were your thoughts on the announcers?
I thought Carter was very good. I think he knows the game very well.
Yes.
And he definitely studied a lot of tape prior to his first NFL game where he was the color commentator on the game. The analysis of the game. He did a very good job. Overall, those guys, you know, tip of the hat to them too. They were there as long as everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the camera crews and losing the camera crew, making the game a little bit different from a viewing perspective. This game was just
crazy.
Unbelievable. If something didn't happen, I would be shocked. I mean, there was a fight. There was kickoff returns for touchdowns. There were turnovers. There was big plays from both teams. Everything you could think of happened in this game.
Absolutely. It was wild. I think Chris Carter, I believe he lives in South Florida, so I know he knows the Miami Dolphins well because he's just around it so much. I believe he still lives down. Oh, you know what? He's got that show on Fox, so maybe he did move. I'm not even sure anymore. But I know for a while he lived down there, so he probably does follow the Dolphins a little bit. Like a lot, but he was great today. I thought he knew the game. He didn't get sidetracked into nonsense with some of these crews. You know, they're more talking about jokes and trying to slide in that nonsense. He just called the game X and O's, black and white. That's all you want from your announcers. Chris Carter, Fox, did a great job. So everyone, thanks so much for listening to our first post-game wrap-up show of the season. A big one for the Dolphins. We'll be back with shows all week this week, talking about the week two matchup against the New York Jets. As always, read all of our articles up at dolphinstalk.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at dolphinstalk. We're going to have a bunch of new videos up this week. Of course, the podcast, Fins Up Fans Down, the Perfectville podcast, the Landon and Jeff show as well as dolphinstalk.com daily. Wherever you listen to our podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, whether it's on iTunes, SoundCloud, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Podbean, you know all the places. So, and also we are still looking for more writers. We have added a few new writers to our site. If you are interested in writing for our website, send me an email at dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Again, dolphinstalk1977@gmail.com. Everyone have a great Monday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.